morning, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 o'clock. Coming up on Fly Jams Friday, obviously entirely dedicated to Prince, who we lost yesterday. And I am sort of beside myself about this one. Really, really sad about that. But all of Fly Jams Friday will be dedicated to the one and only Prince. We do have Straight Outta Context, Nick D Show Spies, and You Big Dummy coming up in a little bit. And we'll also tell you what's happening on the Outside the Loop radio show in a little bit. That, what you just heard, was another incredible musician who we lost last night by the name of Lonnie Mack. He's a groundbreaking guitarist. And was one of the major rock heroes and guitar heroes for so many guitarists from Eric Clapton, Duane Allman, Keith Richards, Jimmy Page, and especially Stevie Ray Vaughan, who we had a special relationship with. As soon as I had heard that Lonnie Mack died, I immediately wanted to reach out to Steve and Johnny. Who I knew would have a personal reaction to this. They've had him on the show, and they were kind enough to say yes to join me this morning. Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Hey, Nick.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for coming back and being on the show with me.
Sure.
Oh, well, thank you for asking. But can I put up the stop sign?
Yeah, I know.
Good grief!
It's just it's completely ridiculous. It's been a horrible year in all of entertainment, and especially music. It just seems like nonstop. I mean, you guys know how much I love Prince, and and it was like a kick to the gut, man. And then
I fully understood your post today, having worked your shift and waking up and hearing this devastating news and saying, I'm going to go back to sleep or just stop now.
Yeah, it was just ridiculous. I couldn't deal with it. And then I'm finally coming to terms with it, you know, planning what we would like to play on the show for Fly Jams Friday and thinking about that. And then I turn my phone on again and I look and this Lonnie Mack dies. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
So tell me about Lonnie Mack. Well, tell everybody about Lonnie Mack and you know, and the impact that he made, especially to guitarists.
Well, let me go back to, if I can, to a very personal thing. The first time I ever heard the song you were just playing, Memphis.
Yeah.
Now, you have to realize that at that time, there were occasional rock guitar instrumentals. And the way that instrumental starts out is not all that difficult. And the first time I was listening to it on the air, I thought, oh, yeah, somebody's doing the Chuck Berry riff. And then he got into the solo.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what just happened?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I thought, okay, well, that's, you know, that's going to be a one-hit wonder. We'll never hear from him again. And then Wham! Came out.
Right.
And again, I thought, how the, huh? And I went out and I bought Lonnie's first album, which I still have, The Wham! Of That Memphis Man.
Right.
It is one of the few albums that I played over and over and over again and just sat there listening and thinking, my God, this guy is from another planet. He's incredible. To this day, I can, as a guitar player, I can play some of the basic stuff that Lonnie Mack does.
Mm-hmm.
But to get into all those solos and things, no bleeping way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was just on a whole nother level. And when Johnny and I first had the chance to interview him, it was one of the few times ever. We've all had the chance to interview a whole lot of people and celebrities.
Yeah.
I can count on one hand the number of times I've been nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Les Paul, Hoyt Axton, believe it or not, and Lonnie Mack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can back him up on that. And the funny thing is, I loved Lonnie Mack as a singer. I thought he was so sexy.
Yeah.
I mean, he just this great, cool, gritty voice. So I was kind of nervous because I'm coming to him from that perspective, from the in particular from his kind of, you would consider it his comeback record in 1985, the Alligator Records.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Struck by Lightning.
Yep. That's actually, Alligator Records is who broke the news. That's how I got it, was through my, because I'm friends with Alligator Records on Facebook.
Right.
And that's how that's the first time I saw it, was from Alligator Records.
And you know what, Nick? That's why I knew it was legit. I knew that
that
this wasn't a mistake, and it was just devastating news to hear that, even though he'd kind of been out of the limelight. Now, he'd been touring in recent years, but he hadn't recorded anymore and was apparently living a nice life in Tennessee, having been born in southern Indiana,
right,
and traveled all over the country. He ended up in Tennessee, and you always thought, well, he's going to go back into the studio again. You know, he's still got it, because people would say, yeah, I just saw him. He's doing great. He's still got all the licks and doing some pretty cool stuff.
And, you know, the thing about it, and you guys can expound upon this, the variety of styles of music that this guy played. You know, he was everywhere. He played almost every genre.
He did. Country, blues, rock, you know, and he could play it incredibly proficiently.
And when he was much younger, he got a certain amount of acclaim on black radio because he was being played before anybody realized that he was this white kid from Indiana.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Now, what is it about when you guys interviewed him, what was the interview like for you guys?
It was kind of weird.
It was a Sunday night,
and
he was still living in southern Indiana at that point. And in fact, I remember our producer called, and Lonnie said, could you call back in just a few minutes? We're finishing up this poker game. We had a bunch of buddies over. They were playing cards.
Okay, we'll
call back. And
maybe he's winning. And yeah. So we'll call back. So we did. And he was very gracious with his time and very low key. And, you know, I thought, okay, does this guy ever get excited and riled up? But, you know, what they say about the ones that are quiet and low key, you don't want to push them.
Yeah.
And I remember at that time, too, we had it was the Strike by Lightning album that had Oreo Cookie Blues.
Right.
Oh, yeah, which is...
And we would play all the time.
Lonnie and Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yes.
And by the way, if you want to ever see some incredible videos, look up Lonnie Mack, Stevie Ray Vaughan live doing Oreo Cookie Blues, and there's one that we link to on our Facebook page. Look up the two of them doing Wham.
Yeah.
And your computer speakers will explode.
Yeah, that's like that was immediately the song that I went to when we were going to pull songs to play for Bumps.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I went to immediately because I remember seeing that. And, you know, I mean, to have those two guys on the same stage. And, you know, and Stevie Ray Vaughan introduces him on that and says the baddest. He's like, he's the best, the baddest guitarist I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And for Stevie Ray Vaughan to say that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think their history was really interesting, too, because, as I recall, Lonnie was going to give Stevie Ray a big break. He'd kind of discovered this kid that he was going to be behind with his record company, and then Lonnie's buddy that he'd started this record company with had died in a car accident, so that kind of fell through. And then Stevie Ray gets his bump and his taste of fame, and he grabs Lonnie and says, you know, I'm here for you, man. I'm going to help you out with your album. So that was a pretty cool turn of events.
Yeah.
Lonnie has also, a lot of people don't know, Lonnie was responsible for a term that has become constantly used among guitar players.
Yeah.
He had this incredible guitar. It was a Gibson Flying V.
Yeah.
It was one of about 98 that were made during the first run, and he had serial number 7. Now, because of the shape of this guitar,
which is, in fact, a V.
It's a V.
Yeah.
Lonnie wanted to have what is called a Bigsby put on the guitar. Because of the shape of the guitar, it was really difficult to do. Lonnie went to a guy who was able to take the V part of the guitar, run a rod across that, and put this Bigsby on it. Because of the way he used that, and because it was a Flying V, and because of the song Wham, that's where you got the term
whammy bar.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I know he used the whammy bar all the time.
But it was the tremolo before the success of Wham.
Oh, I see.
Wham.
Or a vibrato.
Yeah, and so then it became the whammy bar.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I did not know that originated with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
Of course, now, to get him to tell that story, it was like, oh, yeah. He's like really humble. And
yeah.
You kind of imagine if you were talking with him, he'd kind of be the guy looking down at his feet like, ah, oh, shucks, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And back to Oreo Cookie Blues, I remember telling him about how when you do a six-hour show, you get hungry in the middle of the night.
Right.
We didn't have food. We just played that song. And there was, like, silence on the other end. Like, really? That's just weird.
What did you guys ask him what it was about the Flying V that he liked so much? Do you have any, like, Steve, can you speak to that as a guitar player?
He just liked the shape of it.
Yeah.
And that was... As I said, that was not a very successful guitar at that time for Gibson, but Lonnie always kind of liked space-like things, and the Flying V had this very 50s, at that time, futuristic shape, and Lonnie was just all over it.
Yeah.
And when he got it, he told us that he'd never had a guitar. He'd tried playing other guitars. He'd never had a neck that felt that good. Just that guitar, he was meant for that guitar.
It's interesting. It's interesting because, as you guys know, the Flying V is mostly associated with metal.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, like Ace Frehley played a Flying V in Kiss, and it was one of those guitars that was very, very, and still very, very associated with, especially, 80s metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you listen to most of the guys who play the Flying V, they're doing the heavy metal chords.
Yeah.
And they're not doing the kind of solos, intricate, incredible, fast solos that Lonnie Mack does.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, guys, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, hold on a second. Steve and Johnny are with me, and they were kind enough to join me to pay tribute to Lonnie Mack, a groundbreaking guitarist, a vocalist, who passed away last night. Right on the heels of us losing Prince, we lose another music giant, Lonnie Mack, and they had him on the show, and we wanted to get their perspective on that. So we're going to pay more tribute to Lonnie Mack here after we take a break on 720 WGN. And then after 3:30, we'll find out what's on the Loop Radio, outside the Loop Radio. We will also do our regular features, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and You Big Dummy. That's all coming up, and a special Prince edition of Fly Jams Friday.
I hide them in the cabinet, I keep them in a jar, and for emergencies, you know I keep them in the glove compartment of my car, and I can't live without them. They get me high and I can get on booze. I got them Oreo cream sandwich, chocolate
covered
cream filled cookie blue.
There it is, yeah. Lonnie Mack, everybody, passed away last night, a groundbreaking guitarist and a hero of many, including Stevie Ray Vaughan. And that was the song that Steve and Johnny were talking about, and of course, Steve and Johnny joining me here. That is such a great song.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It was about this time of the morning that we would play this song.
Yeah, we're just doing the 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah, that's usually when it about hits. That's usually when you're like, my stomach's rumbling a little bit. That's usually when it
is. And that's when you need the blues, too, at 3 o'clock in the morning.
How do you think Lonnie Mack will be remembered mostly as a virtual guitarist?
I think so. Unfortunately, he, never had the fan base of a Prince, for example.
Yeah.
Guitar players will remember him and hold him up in incredibly high esteem. And hopefully people will take the time, if you're not familiar with Lonnie, seek him out. Do a YouTube search. He couldn't make a bad record.
He recorded a total of 11 albums for many different labels, and it was the Alligator label record that you guys mentioned earlier from 1985 that really was a big comeback for him. I remember that record.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but he was born in Indiana, and then I guess he was encouraged to move to Texas by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
By Stevie Ray Vaughan. Yeah.
Right.
Right. He talked about moving to Texas. He was one of the guys. He had something in common with Les Paul. They enjoyed getting in their car, Les a Lincoln, and as I recall, it was a Cadillac for Lonnie, and just, travel from coast to coast and doing the bars, and anybody that would listen to you, just stop and play, and that was his thing. So he did move to Texas when Stevie Ray wooed him there, and then he ended up on the East Coast, and he spent some time in Canada, and he was down here in Florida for a while, and then ended up in Tennessee.
In fact, it's a great live album. I believe it is called The Attack of the Flying V.
It's The Attack of the Killer V.
The exactly,
Killer V.
Killer V.
Yeah.
And it's Lonnie recorded live. And again, it's you say, what? Huh?
Yeah.
This is too good.
And for people who don't know, on the Strike the Lightning tour in '85, when he had that resurgence, you know, Keith Richards, Ron Wood, Ry Cooder, Stevie Ray Vaughan, they all joined him on stage during that tour. Obviously well-revered. And Strike Like Lightning was also produced by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Right.
Who was featured on the record, too. And, I mean, the impact that this guy had, especially in the world of guitarists, is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's funny, when you played a little bit of his vocal there, and I had said that I was so impressed with his singing. I just thought he had this great, gritty, bluesy voice. To think that his influences vocally were George Jones and Bobby Bland.
Yeah.
Do you get any more diverse those two?
Well, that was what was so great about Lonnie Mack. Listen, guys, I'm so happy that you took the time. I really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Sharing your memories.
Thank you for asking us. Before we let you go on, I know you got to run, but one quick thing about Prince. A lot of people have been talking about Prince and saying, well, Prince's Super Bowl performance was one of the best Super Bowl. No, it was hands down the best. Ain't nobody ever come close to what Prince did at the Super Bowl.
I agree. I agree with you 100%, guys. It's so great to hear from you again. You know, I miss you guys.
Well, thank you for remembering Lonnie, too.
Of course. And by the way, real quick, for everybody who wants to connect with you guys are online. And are you still touring for the Les Book?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
As a matter of fact, one of the reasons we're down in Florida is we're working on an event we're doing with several authors and musicians. It's called Music and Murder, and it's going to be held...
no one will be murdered at the event.
It's going to be May 7th at the Gulf Coast State College.
Awesome.
And then we get back to Chicago. We're going to kick off our summer tour in Wakanda at the Wakanda Historical Society on June 5th, on a Sunday afternoon at 2.
Oh, that's great. And tell everybody how they can get the book, A Little More Less.
Go to alittlemoreless.com, and Les is spelled with one S. Or if you forget all this stuff and you want to connect with us on Facebook or wherever, go to steveandjohnny.com.
There you go. Guys, I love you. You know that.
Thank you.
Back
appreciate
at you, Nick.
It.
Okay. Take care, guys. Thanks so much. Steve and Johnny. I'm just sitting here waiting for them to come back. I'm just filling in until they come back. That's pretty much all there is to it. Two of my heroes. Love them. And I thank them for joining me. Rest in peace, Lonnie Mack, an amazing musician. We'll take a break. We got the news coming up next.